We want to talk this morning about nurturing life in relationships, and what better illustration than moms? Because that's what they do, isn't it? With their kids, with their the whole idea of this 9-month gestation period, this 9 months of torture. In my mind, you know, if it were up to guys, let me just say this, if it were up to me, you might have one child, but you certainly wouldn't have more. And I give it to you ladies that God knew what he was doing when he said, ladies are going to be doing childbearing and not guys, because I'm a wimp. This whole idea, though, of mothers nurturing their children, it is a great time to celebrate moms. All that they've done, all that they do, who they are. Nobody's perfect, but moms, you know, they give so much. I'm the youngest of seven. And to think about all that mom did with our family, she had an eighth grade education, she never drove a car, and yet she raised seven kids, and five of us were boys. And praise God for her, that I'm alive. She protected me, you know. I'm the youngest, so. What an illustration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To think of a mom giving birth to her child, whether it's adoption, and then launching this life and bringing about all that God wants for that child to maturity. It is a beautiful picture of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to look at that, about this whole idea of nurturing life. Several of us had recently the pleasure of being with the Best Venus, who go to church here, in their finalization of their adoption of Alina. 4 years was the process for that. Can you imagine pregnancy for 4 years? Doesn't that sound exciting? But the adoption process for Alina took 4 years, and we got to be there the evening that they celebrated her finalized adoption, and she became a Best Vina. So it's really exciting. Yeah. But 4 years to bring that to fruition, to nurture her and make her theirs, that what a beautiful picture of what Scripture tells us, that we are adopted into the family of God. And so we realize this morning that not all have had a great day with Mother's Day. Some can't even come because of their struggle with Mother's Day. So pray for them, but let's celebrate what moms do. Proverbs 31, it says to children, children, rise up and call her, your mom, blessed because of who she is when she portrays God's image to you. Proverbs 1, it says, do not forsake your mother's teaching. Oh, that we would have all listened to that, right? And stayed out of a lot of trouble. But do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Isaiah 49, it says, can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? You know, you think about that, and you think of this idea that a mom's love for her child. God says there, you know, even if a mom would forget. But God is such that he says, but, you know, just like a mom who cares and loves for her child, he said, I will never forget you. What an image that God puts through motherhood and brings to us, this image of his love for us. When Nicodemus went to Jesus to talk to him about what Jesus was teaching, Jesus said to him about faith and eternal life, he says, you must be born again. Nicodemus says, wait a minute, I can't go back into my mother's womb and be born again. That's ridiculous. And Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. This sense of salvation that God talks about and the Son brings to us in salvation in Jesus Christ. In 3:16, it says this in John, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's the truth. That's the gospel. What a great promise. It's that gospel that he has given to us and that he then gives to us to portray to others that we have the ministry of the gospel. Sorry, I went past that, but those folks don't belong here. They don't go here, but just that picture of moms nurturing their children. But the gospel is portrayed and given to us in the ministry of the gospel with the great commission that says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Is that distracting? Is yours working? Oh, mine back there is just going ding, 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 ding. So I'll ignore mine. Yours seems to be working better. Sorry about that. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Holy Father, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. The Great Commission that is given to us, which says to us, in life, while you're going, go into all the world and make disciples. We've talked about it, we've preached about it, we've prayed about it, recognizing that scriptures tell us to go into all the world as you're going, as you're living, and make disciples of Jesus Christ. There's only one problem. There's a big disconnect between talking about it, studying it, preaching about it, praying about it, and actually doing it, actually carrying that out in our lives. There was a study recently by the Barna Group where churchgoers were surveyed and says, have you heard of the Great Commission? That big chunk there is where 51% of the churchgoers said, I have no idea what you're talking about with the Great Commission. That passage that we just talked about, another 25% said, I've heard of it, but I'm not sure what it's all about. And then there's 17% that says, oh yeah, I know what that means, and I know the scripture. And I think, oh great, most of us would put ourselves into that 17% and say, yes, that's where we are. And I think our church is knowledgeable about scriptures. We study the scriptures. We go back to the scriptures. There was another study that said, and this is out of order for some reason, between the first service and second service, a gremlin got into my computer. Because it worked in the first service. In 2019, the Discipleship Pathway Assessment Study Group from Nashville found this. They found that there was a great excitement, a great eagerness about the idea of evangelism. We're all for it. But few Protestant churchgoers actually engaged in the practice on a regular basis. There's this connection that is broken between what we believe, what we say we want to see happen, and what is actually happening in our lives. It says there that more than half of those who attend church at least once a month say that they have not shared with someone how to become a Christian in the past 6 months. Now, I think that's generous, because if we took a survey, when's the last time we talked to someone about how to become a Christian? Now, for some, that's yesterday, the day before, and they do it regularly. And praise God for that. For others of us, there is this gap, this disconnect between what scriptures say and what they call us to and what we really desire and what we see in our lives. Scott McConnell, part of this group, said this, sharing the good news that Jesus paid for our sins through his death on the cross and rose again to bring us new life, that is the mission of the church. That's what we're called to do, to share that message, to grow deeper in our relationship with him. But this is also what he said, but it does not appear to be a priority of churchgoers. That's a hard truth, isn't it? And if we took a survey, I think it would be pretty clear that that's pretty accurate for us too, for me too. This disconnect between the Great Commission and our lives of what we're actually doing with our lives and how we are going to live that out. Romans 10:13 says this, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's a great truth that we read in our, that Jeremy read for us today. All. Who does God reject? Of all those who call on him for salvation, he will reject none of them. He will draw them to himself. He will provide salvation for all who call on his name in the name of Jesus Christ. But the next verse says this, how can they then call on the one they have not believed in? So if Fred is here and Fred doesn't call on the name of the Lord, because how can he call on Jesus if he doesn't believe in Jesus? And so this is backing us out of that situation where Fred's there and he's not calling on the Lord because he doesn't believe in Jesus. But how can he believe in Jesus if he's not heard about Jesus? And you think of that. If he hasn't heard about Jesus, he can't believe in Jesus. And so, and how can he hear about Jesus if no one preaches to him about Jesus? Now, I don't mean smacking him over the head with the Bible, but I mean telling him about Jesus. How can he hear if no one tells him? And you see, that's where we come in. Whose responsibility is it to tell Fred about Jesus Christ? Whose responsibility is it to tell your neighbor, your workmate, your student friend about Jesus Christ? In the first service, somebody over here on the side said, mine. And it made me think about that old movie Finding Nemo with the fish, you know, and a cartoon thing. And one of my favorite scenes in that movie is with the seagulls. And if you know what I'm talking about, where they're all flying around and there's a fish that they want. And all they do is one bird says, mine. Another one says, mine. And all of a sudden you hear all these birds going, mine, 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 mine. You think of that. Isn't that true of us? Whose responsibility is it to share the truth about Jesus Christ with our neighbors? And it ought to be all over the place. Mine, 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 mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's our responsibility. It is our challenge. It is our call to the Great Commission to share the truth of Jesus Christ with our neighbors, with our friends, with our family, with those that we work with, those that we go to school with. See, how are they going to hear if we don't tell them? How are they going to believe if they never hear it? And how are they going to call on him if they don't believe in him? It starts with us being willing to speak, being willing to care enough to bridge that gap between the Great Commission and the call of Scripture and our lives, where we go, we care about him, we think it's a great idea, but it just doesn't seem to happen. You think about that in our lives and the call of God on us to follow after him. Someone needs to preach. Is it someone else or is it me? So, we are called to bring life into our relationships. God has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation, that we might be engaging our circles of influence. That means the people that God has put in our path, we're called to engage them with the gospel, to love them like Jesus loves them, to care for them, to speak to them like Jesus does. 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says this, all this, where it's talking about we are transformed in our lives, the old is gone, the new self has been put on, we are transformed because of Jesus Christ. And it says there, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us then the ministry of reconciliation. You see, we're called because he's done it for us. Now, will we do it for others? He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. But how do we actually encourage each other to really do it? to be about the ministry of reconciliation, to actually speak about it. Because there is this disconnect, this gap in our lives, in the church today. And I'm not bringing a hammer here today and saying, oh, guilty, guilty, guilty. I want us to say, how do we actually take steps to encourage each other to do it? What does that look like? Here's my idea. You all have workmates. You all have friends. You all have neighbors. And so I want us to look at and say, what does it mean for us to take one step into that? Here's my answer, or one answer. A gospel party seed pack. Now, a dorky name, yes. Okay, I'll give you that. But what does it mean for us to say, I'm going to have a picnic, a barbecue, a party for my neighbors? You know, I think about my neighbors, and we moved in there two years ago almost, and I know very few of my neighbors because we've had a lot of things happen in our lives in the meantime and just other stuff. And what does it look like for us to get to know our neighbors, to have one of these parties, to invite them all? And my idea is to put a map on a table and to say, put your name on your house. And so we can, and maybe you don't know all your neighbors, so let's get to know each other. But a gospel party seed pack, and you see the GPS, that's a hard one to figure out, right? Underline. And here's another dorky statement. How about God's positioning system instead of what we normally call a GPS? You see, God has taken us, and he's given us his GPS. He has taken us and placed us in a certain place in our lives, in his universe, in his kingdom work. And he's placed us there in the middle of a circle of influence. If you take your mind and you take your finger and you draw a line around all the people that he's put in your circle of influence, your family, my neighbors, coworkers, friends, that's our GPS location, folks. And he has called us to the ministry of reconciliation right there. And so we have gospel party seed pack. The idea is to have a picnic this summer, a party, a barbecue, something this summer, early fall, where you will actually invite your neighbors to come and be part of it. We have inside this packet, I have about 8 of these things up here and left from after the first service. And here inside this is what some of these things are. There's a check for $150. But don't worry, you can't just take this and cash it. It's just a piece of cardboard. But there's a space there for your name. You write your name in there. You come and talk to me with that and hand it to me. I'll make the process happen to get you a check for $150 to pay for the food, to pay for the needs of this party. So that's in there. And also there are these sample invitations. And you can look at those. You can use your own. Our office, I volunteered the ladies in the office, will help you change this and customize it for you. And so you can take those and use them to hand out to your neighbors, hand them out to workmates, friends, whatever it is, and invite them to a picnic with you, a party, some gathering, get together. We're going to have a summer adult class on Sunday mornings to look at how to voice the gospel. We're going to pray together. We're going to encourage each other to, hey, have you actually used the invitations this week? Have you called? You know, when is yours? And so there are these options in here about how to hold one of these parties. There's another sheet in there that says it's just a facility use form so that you can requisition the borrowing of tables and chairs from us. And to use, I also volunteered Barb, who supplies all of our kitchen stuff. She stocks it all. So I volunteered her too. So all these people are loving this. You can use our plastics, our paper, you know, cups, our plastic cups, our silverware, well, our plasticware, and our plates. All you have to do is take the form, fill it out, turn it in. There's a sheet in there that has ideas about what to do for the planning of a picnic, you know, just some helps. Faith focus. How can you focus on faith? Just the idea of just saying to these folks, hey, my faith in Jesus is really important to me. And I'd love to know your story, but I'd love to be praying for you. And if there's any way I can pray for you, just let me know that. We're going to pray for the meal here, and I'd love to pray for you along the way as I get to know you. So if you have anything, any needs, let me know. Simple things to open up the discussion about faith. To take that step, to break down that gap between what we know to be true, the enthusiasm we have for evangelism, as long as somebody else is doing it. Or, you know, I'd really like to do it, but I never get around to it. Maybe it's not this party. Maybe you're already doing something. We'd love to hear your stories, because your stories encourage us. That 51% that's not doing it, sometimes stories encourage us to actually step out, give it a shot. So we'd love to hear your stories about how you're interacting with people about Jesus Christ. There are some requirements to take a seed pack. One, actually have the party. Doesn't do much good to say, yeah, I want to do this. I'm going to take it home, and it's going to sit on the dresser, sit on the counter, and summer goes by, and it's not going to hurt me. It's not going to hurt the church. But it's going to be one more thing where it's like that gap just grows. So to actually have the party, otherwise the check has to come back, you know. Participate in the summer class. Pray with others. Be encouraged. Be challenged. And then share your story. You got to share your story, because it's about encouraging each other, whether it goes well or not. You know, it's all stepping out in faith and seeing what God does. You know, it doesn't mean you have to get up and preach on Sunday morning. There's a story sheet in here that you can just answer some questions. You can do it on paper. You can do it by, we can set up a video and do an interview. We can do an interview up here. Lots of different ways to share your story. But you got to share your story. But would you pray with me about doing this and encouraging people to actually close the gap and share the gospel? I was volunteering our admin staff to help with this, and do you think I stuffed this and made this? No. Cindy and Beth did. And Cindy said, oh, we just did this recently. And so I've asked them to come and share their story about two incidents over the last month or so, I think. Dan, I hear you get to share the failure.
Several years ago, just before we started attending Faith Baptist Church, we visited a friend of ours in California, in San Diego, and he has a church. He pastors a church in his home, and he's got a beautiful home, hacienda style, and it works for him. So we were really inspired by that. We came home. We decided to have a Bible study in our home, a neighborhood Bible study, thinking that maybe somehow that would develop into a church in the home. And so we invited everybody to have breakfast on Sunday morning and a Bible study. And you could probably guess what the end of the story. Most of them wanted to come for breakfast, but not the Bible study. So in fact, there was even some people that expressed some hostility towards a church and the Bible. But they were interested in coming to the breakfast. That might have worked some time ago, but it doesn't work today. People are too busy, and they've been wounded by the church and other Christians, and there's indifference because of our culture and the education system. So there is another way.
So a couple of weeks ago, there's a gentleman that is friends to Dan and myself, and he has a circle of friends who are unbelievers. Then he also has some strong Christian friends. So he decided to have a gathering, and he invited the unbelievers, but he also invited some believers. We were fortunate to be able to go. We knew that there were unbelievers going to be there. I don't know what they expected, but it was wonderful. We got together. Everybody brought food. There was great fellowship. We prayed over the food. We had games, so we were all together having games, and it just lended itself to get to know them and to share. there was a woman that sat next to me, and she was dealing with cancer, and so we prayed for her. It wasn't heavy. It was a loving prayer. It was unintimidating for the other people. It was great. I thought that setting really, really was nice to share and get to know people and to love them. And it's their desire to have this on a periodic basis. So it was. I thought it worked well. And it was nice that we were with other Christians that could just love on the unbelievers. So it was a good thing.
You can put it down there. Thank you. Just that opportunity to meet your neighbors, your friends, where they are, with the love of Jesus Christ, and just introducing them to that spiritual discussion about faith, about hope, about life. Little steps to close the gap. God has called us. He says in the last part of that section in 2 Corinthians, God is, and I've pulled out some key phrases, entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. He has put it in our hands. We are ambassadors for Christ. It is us who have the message to take to those around us. God is making his appeal to those people through us. May he use us to close that gap between what we are enthused about, what we believe the scripture calls us to, and actually doing it in our lives to say, I will step out and allow Jesus to use me to be run by the Holy Spirit and just invite people together to care about them, to pray for them. And it can be as simple as that. Just to say, hey, we're going to pray for the meal. And I'm going to pray, and I'd love to be praying for you. And if there's anything we can pray for, please let us know, because we believe Jesus cares about you. And opening up that conversation to follow him in obedience, that others might know, that others would receive eternal life. What a privilege, what a call that God has put in our lives. And so today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, and that's such great fun, make sure you stop and get a picture with Mom. It is a beautiful illustration of the love God has for us and the call of the ministry of the gospel to nurture life, true life in Jesus Christ in our relationships. Let's pray. Lord, whether it be by this idea of a gospel party or conversations in everyday life with our circle of influence, the people you put in front of us in our lives, may we, by your Holy Spirit, be your ambassadors to share Jesus Christ in simple ways, to talk about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to know Jesus, how they can have salvation. We are all sinners. Some of us are saved by grace through faith. May we be part of your kingdom work to make that more and more people around us. That by the end of this year, we would see at least 25 people here at Faith growing in their faith in salvation in Jesus Christ because of your work through us. Lord, lead us, guide us, help us to answer that call in the name and for the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.